Father, thank you that you are the one who rules your church and that you are the one who guides us through your word. And so, Father, we pray now that you would do that as we listen to you. Show us what it means to be your church and to live for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder... Here's a simple question to start off with. How many pieces of fruit and veg are you meant to eat each day? Five. See, everyone knows that you're meant to eat five pieces of fruit and veg a day. But since that whole advertising campaign started and that whole policy, did you know that less people now eat five pieces of fruit and veg a day than beforehand? We all know we should, but actually it doesn't change what we do. Well, that can be true in the Christian life too. And as we come to think about church, I learned this very acutely for myself last year as we faced, a financial deficit. And it forced us as a leadership, as trustees and standing committee to think about the future of the church. Is Christchurch still viable? What if we weren't able to support me as a minister? What about if numbers went down? But I hope you can see what is wrong with that understanding, my thinking. It is thinking of church as a kind of organisational model that it needs to be maintained and kept going like any other organisation. It thinks church is about me, about a lead, about a pastor, or about a certain sort of critical mass. But church is God's people gathered round God's word. And that's true for any size or number. And so I was encouraged by the review day that we had recently, as we saw many healthy signs for us as a church. Just the fact that there were so many there was a real encouragement that people are taking that ownership and membership of church seriously. And it was wonderful to see those two things that kept people at Christchurch coming out as relationships and the gospel. The church is God's people gathered around the word of God. And there, what do we have? What's keeping you at Christ Church? Well, it's God's people gathered around the word of God. But also came through that day was frustrations and concerns about how we keep going. The need for more people. If only there were more people to do all that needs to be done. And they are things that we need to think about. But we must make sure before we do that we have a clear vision of what church is. And allow that to shape how we go forward. Not just simply maintaining what we do, but asking what will it look like for us to be Christ's church in this context, at this stage of our life. What will it mean to be Christ's church and then committing together to becoming that church that God wants us to be with the help of his strength and his spirit? And there's no better place to look to consider what it means to be church than the letter of the Ephesians. Because it's all about that question. What does it mean to be church? And I just want to take you through a kind of quick tour of one image that Paul uses throughout the letter to give us an understanding of what does it mean to be church. And that is of the body. It's not the only picture. He also uses that of the building. But it's a picture of a body. And we'll kind of track that through. And if you're here, someone looking in, it's great to have you. And again, this is going to be useful for you because if you're looking in and thinking, well, what does it mean to be church? What does it mean to be part of a church? Well, this will be really helpful. And I want us to begin at the end of chapter 1 and verse 22. So have a look there. Chapter 1, verse 22. Let me read those verses. And God placed all things under his, that is Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So straight away we see that the church is Christ's body with him as the head, connected to Christ and controlled by Christ. It's not actually the first time that the idea of head is mentioned. It's hidden in most English translations, but back in verse 10, God says that the plan for the whole of the universe and the whole of eternity is to bring everything under one head, even Christ. That phrase in verse 10, to bring under Christ, bring unity under Christ, is one word in the Greek, which means bringing under a head, to sort of sum up under one kind of overarching thing. One head. And that is God's plan for eternity, to bring everything under Christ. But he's beginning that now with the church as he brings individual people under the rule of Christ in the church. So the church is often seen as outdated. It's seen as kind of something for the past. But actually the church is the future. The church is where everything is heading, because one day everything will be united under Christ. And what is the church? It is those who've already come under the rule of Christ. And so that is exciting, isn't it? If you're here again looking in and you look at us around, you see very small, insignificant group. But this is where the future lies. This is what the whole of the purpose of eternity is about. And so it's wonderful to get on board now at the ground floor with what God's doing for eternity. This is where it's going to end up, with people gathered around the throne in heaven, glorifying God under Christ's rule for eternity. And that's what we're starting now. So that's exciting, what the church is. It's Christ's body under his head, under his, connected to him and controlled by him. But then let's flick over the page to chapter 2 and passage we just heard read. And here we see how this body is formed. Let me read from verse 14. For he himself is our peace, who has been made the two groups one, and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. So in verses 11 to 13, we're told of what we were outside of Christ. We're separate from him, without hope and without God in the world, and far off. And then in 19 to 22, we see what we've become as we come to Christ. We've become no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, members of his household. Here we see the other image of the church. We're like a building rising up. That's what we've become. But how does that happen? How does that change happen from being without hope and far off to being included as God's people? Well, there in the middle, we're told how it comes about. And it comes about as we come to Christ. Through his work on the cross, he creates a new humanity as he brings those who are far off under himself, under his head, into one new humanity, one new body. As we are reconciled to God, we are also reconciled to one another. As we have come together under the rule of Christ. Think a bit like a child who's adopted. So as that child is taken by his new parents and and brought into that new family. Well, at that point, not only is there a new relationship with the parents, but there's also a new relationship with the siblings as they're brought into relationship with one another. And so with God, as we are reconciled to him through Christ, we are reconciled to one another, brought into new relationships with each other. But at the center of this, how the church is formed, is Christ and his work on the cross. It's strange, isn't it, to say in verse 17, don't know if you noticed it, Christ came and preached peace to you. It's strange, isn't it, because Christ isn't the one who came to preach. Paul was the one who came to preach to the Ephesians. The Ephesians never even met Christ. But the point is that that message of the cross, which Christ proclaimed on the cross, of peace with him, is the message that then Paul has passed on. And as he comes proclaiming this message, this new building is built up on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, on the basis of their teaching. And that's what he does through us and others, as we preach Christ, as we speak of him, that's how the body is formed. As we pass on the message of peace that Christ has preached on the cross to others, they too can be brought in under into the family, into the new body. So that's how Christ, that's how this new body is formed, by coming to Christ through the preaching of the cross. But let's move on to and look at one more passage in chapter 4 and verses 11 to 16. We've looked at this several times over the years. It's a key passage for understanding church. And I'm not going to go into all now, but if you do want to hear, listen to the recording of when we've looked at it in the past, then please do come speak to me. I don't think it's on the website, but I can get that to you. If you'd like to look at it in more detail. But again, I just want to draw out this body image that we see. And again, we see it there in verse 12, don't we? We see the body mentioned. And notice whose body it is. Again, it's the body of Christ. He is the head. It's his body. It belongs to him. And it is controlled and shaped by him. And it is to grow, verse 13. It is to be built up and become mature. Now, we get concerned, don't we, when a child doesn't grow up. It's often a comment that's made from parents to children. Grow up. When are you going to stop going to be so immature? You see, immaturity suggests something's wrong. And so with the church, we are to be growing and maturing, becoming the church, the body that Christ wants us to be. And notice that this maturing is not so much individual. It's true that we are to grow individually as Christians. We're to be concerned for our own personal spiritual growth. But the focus here is on the church as a whole, on the body as a whole, growing to maturity. As we, as God's people, as his body, become more and more the body that reflects Christ, more and more controlled by him as the head, shaped by his character and his will. Makes me think of a baby foal. Do you know when a sort of horse is first born and they first come out, and they struggle to sort of to get up onto their feet. It's amazing how, I mean, it takes a child, a human child, about a year to do it, doesn't it? But it's up in a sort of half an hour or something. But it stands there and its legs are shaking. They're all sort of really spindly and gangly, and they look out of proportion, and they look a bit silly because they haven't grown up. They haven't grown into their body, if you like. And that's the same with the church. We are to sort of grow up into the body that Christ wants us to be. A body suitable for him. Both in what it looks like, as it reflects his character, as it shows that the love and truth and righteousness and justice and grace and mercy, which kind of reflect Christ and his character, but also in how it acts as a body coordinated and controlled by him as the head, in how we relate to each other. How we relate together, sort of how we work well together as we do what he as the head kind of wants us to do, implementing his will in his world. And that happens as each part of the body does its work. Look down at verse 16. In many ways, it's just a repetition of verses 12 and 13, but it really takes the body imagery to its extreme as it speaks of ligaments and things. For him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You see, like any body, like the human body, the church is most effective when each part is functioning properly. Each part working together well, controlled by the head and united together in one task. That's the church. A body with Jesus as the head, which we become part of through Jesus as we come to him and are joined to him. And then by coming to him, also we are joined and united as members of one body together. And then together we grow up and are built up as each part does its work, as we all play our part so that we more and more resemble Christ and more bring about his will in his world. That's the church. Let's just have a think, though, about some of the implications for us at Christ Church. Firstly, our relationships are to be grounded in Christ. Our relationships are to be grounded in Christ. It was wonderful to hear expressed on the review day something of that is clear to anyone who comes into Christ Church. That is the welcome and the fellowship here as part of the church. It's one of the key things that keep you here. And it's worth saying that that is a wonderful thing, and it's not something you see in every church. We should be thanking God for that. And it is a sign of God's grace at work amongst us. But it's important to remember that those relationships are to be and can only be in the context of our relationship with Christ. You see, as we come to Christ, we are drawn closer into relationship with one another. The illustration I've used before is like that of the wheels, a wheel with the hub at the centre, which is Christ, and then the spokes going out. And as we move in towards Christ, we get closer to one another. That is how relationships in the church are formed. As we come to Christ, we come closer to one another. Why is that important? Well, because relationships are to be the result, not the goal or the means of church. Relationships to be the result, not the goal or the means of church. What do I mean by that? Well, if we pursue relationships independent of pursuing drawing closer to Christ, then actually those relationships will break. It's only as we come close to Christ and seek to reflect him that we will develop those true relationships. It means that relationships won't just be superficial or shared around common interests or similar characters, but will be true, genuine gospel relationships shaped by love, putting the other person first, being willing to bear with one another in their sin, speaking the truth in love to one another, showing grace and forgiveness. And again, praise God, I think that is what we see amongst us. because, as we saw on the review day, at the center is also the gospel. And so we are encouraged to keep on pursuing those deeper relationships with Jesus, the deeper relationship with Jesus, so that we can enjoy that in the life of the church. But also, it's important to say that relationships won't keep people at church. Relationships won't keep people at church. We've seen that, haven't we? People who've left who will say that they felt truly welcomed. But that is not enough. It won't keep people long term if they're not being drawn to Christ. If they have a different view of the gospel that we teach. They will come, they will feel welcomed, they'll be with us for a while, but they won't stick around. It's the gospel which will keep people, not our fellowship. So if we want to grow in our relationship as a church, then we need to grow in our relationship with Christ. As we draw closer to him, we will draw closer to one another. Secondly, we are to seek to grow as Christ's body. We are to seek to grow as Christ's body. See, we are not to be content with where we are at as a church, both in size and maturity. We want to be growing. We want to be becoming the body that Christ wants us to be. And again, there's lots that we can be thanking God for, isn't there, as a church? There's many ways that we see the marks of what it means to be Christ's church. The ways that we reflect his character as we see seeking to do his will. We see lots of positives. But also, there should be a dissatisfaction and a desire to grow, to be sort of discontent with where we are, both personally and as a church, wanting to become more and more like Christ and more effective in our service of him. Not just to maintain ourselves, our desire is not just to keep on going, but to grow. And not just so there'll be more people around to do what's needed, but to bring more and more glory to the Lord Jesus as we see his plan fulfilled of bringing people under the rule of Christ. But how does that happen? Well, again, by coming to Christ. Again, he is the center. It's in him that we are built up. It's by focusing on him through speaking and hearing the truth about him, building on the teaching of the apostles and prophets that we read here in the Bible. It's by doing that that we will grow. By coming to Christ, not through structures or programs, but by growing in our love for the Lord Jesus Christ and pointing others to him. See, our programs may help. I mean, I think I've been really encouraged by the Life Course, and I think we're going to see great fruit from it. Because it prioritizes that central thing about people coming to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's been great to see of outreach being put at the centre of the agenda at the church. It's been great to see the confidence given to people to speak about Jesus. I'll speak to Alison later over coffee about the opportunities that she's had as a result of it. But ultimately, we will grow because people through it are coming into contact with Jesus, seeing the truth of who he is and why he came. But it's not the programs itself which will bring growth. It's through people coming to hear of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, it is by Christ giving the growth. You see, it's not down to us. Christ's will build his own church. He says that, doesn't he? I will build my church. So we need to be trusting him and seeking for him to do that work. But also it gives us confidence because that's a promise that Jesus will do it. He will grow us. Maybe not in the ways that we want, but he will do it. His plan for eternity will come about. And he will grow us into maturity. So we need to trust him to do that. We're going to think about how these truths will shape us more as a church in a few moments. But as we sort of pause before we sing again, let's just remember what we've seen of church. And let's let this not just be what we know to be true, but shape us in our attitudes and our actions. The church is a body with Jesus as the head. The church is a body which we come to as we come to Jesus as the head. It's a church, the church is a body that as we come to Jesus as head, we come into relationship with one another, united together. And we grow as each part does its work, as we all play the part that God has given us to play. It's only then that we'll grow up into maturity in Christ, reflecting him and enacting his will in his world. Let's pause there. We're going to sing again, and we're going to sing